Shalom! I'm Eddie Chumney, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The weekly Yeshiva Teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive it by going to the ministry's website, www.hebroots.org, and click on the link, Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The Yeshiva Teaching is an MP3 format, and you can subscribe to receive it through an RSS feed where it will be automatically downloaded to your iTunes, and from there you could transfer it to your iPod or your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching at the website, or you can download it on your computer and listen at your own convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the fundamentals of the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must remember to keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because in Psalm chapter 40 in verse 7 it is written, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 in verse 7. Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24 verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Torah of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Therefore, Yeshua told us that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him, that the Torah is written of him. In understanding how the Torah is written of Yeshua, we need to realize that it is Yeshua who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And by understanding and realizing that Yeshua is our Savior and that he saves his people from their sins, we can use New Testament scripture to see how Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 it is written, "And she," referring to Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name in Hebrew Yeshua, which means salvation." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Then in Luke chapter 2 verse 11 it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So Yeshua saves his people from their sins, and Yeshua is our Savior. Now we're going to look at the first part of James chapter 4 verse 12, where it says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that is able to save, who is Yeshua, he is also the lawgiver, or the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In this session, we are going to look at the testimony of Paul. Did he keep the Torah? He was accused in Acts chapter 21 of not following the Torah. Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 23, 24, 25, 26, and part of Acts chapter 28 is his defense of the charges. So therefore, we are going to put Paul on trial. Did he follow the Torah or not? Did he teach followers in Yeshua to follow the Torah or not? Our objectives in this teaching is to understand the following. First, we're going to look at the accusation that was brought against Stephen. And from the accusations that were brought against Stephen, he was stoned. And Paul was a witness and an advocate of his stoning. By looking at Acts chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, we're going to learn that a false witness says that Yeshua changes the Torah of Moses. Paul consented to the death of Stephen, and thus, in effect, was a party to the claims of the false witnesses that Yeshua changed the Torah of Moses. In Acts chapter 21, Paul is accused of not following the Torah and teaching believers in Yeshua to not follow the Torah, and his accusers then ultimately wanted to kill him. In Paul's testimony against the charges, he states very clearly that he kept the Torah in being a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, and this debate or this controversy with the Jewish authorities wound up in the Roman court system. Paul preached the hope of Israel, which is the restoration and the reunification of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, of Ephraim and Judah. And ultimately, we're going to see that over 25% of the book of Acts only deals with the issue of whether a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah should follow the Torah. So we begin by looking at Acts chapter 6, where there is accusation that is brought against Stephen. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue disputing with Stephen. Acts chapter 6, verse 11. Then they suborned men which said, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses," or the Torah, "and thus against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Acts chapter 6, verse 13. And they set up false witnesses which said. So in the account of what is transpiring here, we are told that these individuals are false witnesses. And in being told that they're false witnesses, we can then understand that they do not tell the truth. This is why they're called false witnesses. So what was their claim? Acts chapter 6, verse 13. Their claim against Stephen is that he ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, or the temple, and the Torah. "For we have heard him say that Yeshua of Nazareth shall destroy this place," that is the temple, "and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." So a false witness made the claim that Yeshua changed the customs of Moses. And this claim against Yeshua is what the false witnesses said that Stephen was teaching. Acts chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" Stephen gives his testimony, but the net result is he was stoned. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. So, in consenting to the death of Stephen, Paul thus consented to the testimony of the false witnesses who said that Yeshua changed the customs of Moses. So there is a biblical principle that what you sow, you reap. And so Paul then himself is going to be accused once he became a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, that he was teaching believers in Yeshua to not follow the Torah. Acts chapter 21, beginning in verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. In the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Acts chapter 21, verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto them, You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews which believe, and they are all zealous of the Torah. And they are informed of you that you, Paul, teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, to not follow the Torah, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs or halakha. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you have come. And so this is the challenge that was made of Paul by his accusers. Acts chapter 21, verse 23. Do therefore this what we say, because we have four men who have a vow on them that this is what you are doing. Acts chapter 21, verse 24. So this is what they requested of Paul. Them take and purify yourself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and follow the Torah. So Paul was challenged to testify that he followed the Torah, and he was challenged regarding his teachings to those who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so how did Paul respond to the challenge? He accepted the challenge and he testified that he himself followed the Torah, and he taught others who believe in Yeshua to follow the Torah as well. Acts chapter 21, verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, as is required of the Torah for one who takes a vow, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and against the Torah in this place, the temple. And further, he brought Greeks also into the temple, and he has polluted this holy place. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Acts chapter 21, verse 32. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know for certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him! Acts chapter 21, verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto you? Who said, Can you speak Greek? Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech you, suffer me to speak unto the people. Acts chapter 21, verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now make unto you. Paul's defense of what? His defense that he followed the Torah. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Paul testifies, I am verily a man which am a Jew, yet brought up in this city, meaning Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, Rabbi Gamaliel. And I was taught according to the perfect manner of the Torah of the fathers. And I persecuted this way unto death, meaning believers in Yeshua as the Messiah, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts 22, verse 5. As also the high priest does bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Yeshua of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told you of all things which are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Acts 22, verse 12. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the Torah, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, meaning he was not a Jew, but he identified with the Torah and the Jewish people. And from this phraseology that he was a devout man, having a good report of all the Jews, it tells us that he was regarded by Torah observant Jews, being a non-Jew, as a semi-proselyte or a half-proselyte. And in the book, The Messianic Idea in Israel by Joseph Klausner, on page 479, he explains regarding half-proselytes. In the Tanaitic period, there was a large group of semi-proselytes or half-proselytes. These persons were called variously devout ones, fearers, God-fearers, worshipers of God, and the like. They are mentioned a number of times in the Acts of the Apostles and also in the works of Josephus. These God-fearers appropriate only the loftier ideas of rabbinical Judaism, such as monotheism, and the ethics of the prophets. Most of them kept the Sabbath and refrained from eating swine's flesh or pig, but they did not observe the numerous ritual rules of Pharisaic Judaism. In other words, a non-Jew who believed in the God of Israel, who kept the biblical Sabbath, who didn't eat pig, but did not follow all of rabbinic Judaism. And so this person today is likened unto a Hebrew roots person. Acts chapter 22, verse 13. He came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. And why are you tarrying here? Arise and be immersed, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get you quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Acts chapter 22, verse 22. And they gave him audience and unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Acts chapter 22, verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what you do, for this man is a Roman, or a Roman citizen. So Paul pleaded for his Roman rights, that he is innocent until proven guilty. Acts chapter 22, verse 27. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, Yes. Acts chapter 22, verse 28. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. In other words, I was born a Roman citizen. Acts chapter 22, verse 29. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, or a Roman citizen, and because he had bound him. Acts chapter 22, verse 30. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Acts chapter 23, verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Acts chapter 23, verse 3. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite you, you white-walled, for you sit to judge me after the Torah, and command me to be smitten contrary to the Torah? And they that stood by said, Are you speaking this way to the high priest of God? Acts chapter 23, verse 5. Then Paul said, I didn't know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written in the Torah, You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. This is from Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28, which says, You shall not curse the ruler of your people. Paul testifies that part of his debate or dispute with the Jewish leaders was over the issue of the resurrection of the dead. Acts chapter 23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the other Pharisees, which did, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Acts chapter 24, verse 21. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, that touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So there's two elements of Paul being in dispute regarding the resurrection of the dead. One is the resurrection of Yeshua, and the second is him teaching the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, which in Ezekiel chapter 37 is likened to the resurrection of the dead. Acts chapter 26 verse 6, "And now I stand and judge for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come." So the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, Paul is testifying, is something in the future. It is something that they hope to come. "For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Acts chapter 23 and verse 10. "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. In the night following, the Lord," that is Yeshua, "stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem." How did Paul testify of Yeshua in Jerusalem? A, that Yeshua appeared to him, that now he believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, that in believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, he followed the Torah. "So then must you also bear witness of me in Rome." Acts chapter 23, verse 12. The Jewish leaders did not like Paul's testimony and wanted to kill him. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy." Acts chapter 23, verse 14. "And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, you with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, or to hear his testimony. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." Now Paul's nephew, hearing of this plot, tries to protect Paul. Acts chapter 23, verse 16. "And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul." Paul requests that his nephew see the chief captain. Acts chapter 23, verse 17. "Then Paul called one of the centurions and said unto him, Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto you, who has something to say unto you." Acts 23, verse 19. "Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What is it that you have to tell me?" Acts chapter 23, verse 20. "And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire you that you would bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, who have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now are they ready, looking for a promise from you." Acts chapter 23, verse 22. "So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, See that you tell no man what you have shown me regarding these things." Acts chapter 23, verse 23. And he called unto him 2 centurions, saying, Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, at the third hour in the night. So in the third hour of the night, Paul is getting an escort of a large contingency who are protecting him from the Jewish leadership who want to kill him. Paul then is going to be sent to Felix the governor. Acts chapter 23 verse 24. And provide them animals that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. So now in seeking to meet Felix the governor, a letter is written to him. Acts chapter 23 verse 25. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sends greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman or a Roman citizen. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their Torah, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bounds, or in other words, that he violated any of Roman law. Acts chapter 23, verse 30. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent him straightway to you, and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before you what they had against him. Farewell. Acts chapter 23, verse 31. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. In the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. When the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, Acts chapter 23, verse 35, I will hear you, said he, when your accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Acts chapter 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders, and with a certain order named Tutelus, who informed the governor against Paul. Acts chapter 24, verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tutelus began to accuse him, saying, Seeing that by you we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by your providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. For we have found this man, speaking of Paul, a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. In other words, those Jews who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. Acts chapter 24, verse 6. Who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged him according to our own Torah. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto you, by examining of whom yourself may take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Acts chapter 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that you have been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that you may understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Acts chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. And neither can they prove those things where they now accuse me. So Paul is defending what accusations? That he did not follow the Torah. Paul is testifying that he kept the Torah. Acts 24, verse 14, Paul says, "But this I will confess unto you, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the Torah, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." So, in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, Paul says he worships the God of his fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believing all things that are written in the Torah, but he has a dispute with his fellow Jews regarding the resurrection of the dead, which is belief regarding Yeshua being the Messiah and that he was raised from the dead. And then, as he testifies coming up before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he is also testifying about the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. Acts chapter 26, verse 6 and 7. This is before King Agrippa. "And now I stand, am, and judge for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come." That's future. "For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." In Ezekiel chapter 37, the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is likened unto the resurrection from the dead. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 and 2. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So what is the understanding regarding these bones that Ezekiel saw? We're told in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts." So Ezekiel's told to prophesy to those bones and say unto them, Ezekiel 37, verse 12, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." And so, in speaking to the dry bones, commanding them to come up out of their graves and come back to the land of Israel, goes on to say in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16, that Ezekiel is supposed to take two sticks, as it is written, "Son of man, take one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions." Ezekiel 37, verse 17, "And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand." So Paul is going to be kept waiting in prison. Acts chapter 24, verse 22, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him." Acts chapter 24, verse 27. "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." How long was Paul bound regarding resolving this issue of the accusations that were made against him that he did not follow the Torah, and he taught those who believed in Yeshua as the Messiah to not follow the Torah as well? Paul is kept for 2 years. Acts chapter 25, verse 1. "Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thereafter. Acts 25, verse 5. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. What were the complaints? That Paul didn't follow the Torah, and he taught believers in Yeshua to not follow the Torah. We are told here that they could not prove those accusations. Paul testifies, Acts chapter 25, verse 8, while he answered for himself, neither against the Torah of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Once again, Paul is defending that he follows the Torah, and he's defending that he teaches believers in Yeshua to follow the Torah as well. The Jewish leaders are accusing him otherwise. Paul now is going to appeal that his case be brought before Caesar. Acts chapter 25, verse 9. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, will you go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? In other words, before the Jewish authorities, outside of the Roman court system. But let the Jewish council judge you, because this is a religious dispute. This is Paul's reply, Acts chapter 25, verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I be an offender, or if I have committed anything worthy of death, in other words, have violated Roman law, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them, and I appeal unto Caesar. Acts chapter 25, verse 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, have you appealed unto Caesar? So unto Caesar you shall go. Festus then is going to inform King Agrippa about Paul. Acts chapter 25, verses 13 and 14. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it's not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and having license to answer for himself concerning the crime that has been laid against him. Acts chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusations of things that I had supposed. In other words, he thought that the accusations was that Paul violated something according to Roman law, which he was going to judge regarding. But he finds out that it's a religious dispute. Acts chapter 25, verse 19. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Yeshua, whom was dead, whom Paul said was alive, or he was resurrected from the dead. Acts chapter 25, verse 20. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, in other words, it's not something regarding the violation of Roman law, it is an internal religious dispute between Jews, I therefore asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. Acts chapter 25, verse 21. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Acts chapter 25, verse 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man for myself. Tomorrow, said he, you shall hear him. Acts chapter 25, verse 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains, and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitudes of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer? Acts 25:25. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, in other words, had violated Roman law, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him to you. Acts chapter 25, verse 26. Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, in other words, there isn't a specific charge that he's violated Roman law, wherefore I brought him forth before you, and especially before you, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have something to write, or something to accuse him of a violation of Roman law. Acts 25, verse 27. For it seems to me unreasonable to send you a prisoner, and don't specify to you the crimes laid against him, in other words, how he had violated Roman law. So Paul testifies before King Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning, in other words, much studying of the Bible and the Torah, has made you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king, King Agrippa, knows of these things before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in secret or in a corner. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Paul is testifying that his belief is according to the Torah and the prophets. So as a result, he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets or do you believe that the prophets state exactly as I have testified? I know that you believe the prophets. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Acts chapter 26, verse 29. Paul replied, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And so, from the examination of Paul, King Agrippa concludes that Paul has done nothing to violate Roman law, so he rules that Paul should be set free. Acts chapter 26, verses 30 and 31. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when between themselves they were gone aside, they talked, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And so Paul was set free, and Yeshua had already spoken to him earlier in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, and said the following, Paul, as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you also bear witness of me in Rome. So Paul then goes to Rome, Acts chapter 28, verse 16. And when he came to Rome, Paul is then going to testify what happened to him in Jerusalem and how he's a believer in Yeshua and follows the Torah. Acts chapter 28, verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hand of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. In other words, there was nothing that I did to violate Roman law. Acts chapter 28, verse 19. But when the Jews spoke against it, or against me, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. In other words, I had no complaint against Rome. The issue was a religious dispute with the Jewish authorities. Paul goes on to state, Acts chapter 28, verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." So Paul is bound because he believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, and he's teaching both Jews and non-Jews to believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. And in doing so, Paul himself follows the Torah, and he's teaching believers in Yeshua to follow the Torah as well. Paul is teaching the resurrection of the dead. He's teaching that Yeshua was resurrected from the dead, but as he testified before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verses 6 and 7, he's also testifying of the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. So Paul says, for this testimony, which he called the hope of Israel, he is in chains. So this phrase, hope, is associated with the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, as we can see in Ezekiel chapter 37. In verse 11, regarding the dry bones, we're told that they are the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes. Ezekiel 37, verse 11. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts." So as long as there is no unification of the 12 tribes of Israel, as long as northern kingdom is separated from southern kingdom, we are told in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11, our hope is lost as long as we are cut off from our parts. And so in Ezekiel being told to take two sticks and join them together, representing the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel and the end of their exile, that would be their hope. That is Messiah and him coming to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, him to set up his kingdom and defeat the enemies of the nation of Israel, who took the people of the God of Israel captive and ruled over them with cruelty. The end of their exile is their hope, because it means the coming and the revealing of the Messiah and him setting up his kingdom, the enemies of the 12 tribes of Israel no longer ruling over them, and the Torah being taught to all nations from Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. So the response of the Jewish leadership in Rome is the following, Acts chapter 28, verse 21. "And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you, or spoke badly of you." Acts chapter 28, verse 22. "But we do desire to hear of you what you think. For as concerning this sect," meaning Jews that believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And so Paul then gives his testimony before the Jewish leaders that he believes in Yeshua and that Yeshua is the Messiah from the Torah and the prophets. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the Torah of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Acts chapter 28, verse 20. Paul once again stated that he's going through the ordeal that is happening to him because He is upholding the hope of Israel. Acts chapter 28, verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So in proclaiming the hope of Israel, he testified of the kingdom of God, that Yeshua is the Messiah in the gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. Acts chapter 28, verse 23. When they, the Jewish leaders in Rome, appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Yeshua, following his resurrection, he also spake concerning the kingdom of God, as it is written, to whom also he, Yeshua, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Yeshua was seen 40 days after his resurrection, and this is what he did during those 40 days. He was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Paul testified of the kingdom of God to the Jewish leaders in Rome. Yeshua testified of the kingdom of God, and in doing so, Yeshua was asked a question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So when Paul gave his testimony to the Jewish leaders in Rome, Acts chapter 28, verse 24, it is written, some believed those things which were spoken, and some did not believe. So let's summarize what we learned in this teaching. In Acts chapter 6, we had an account where Stephen was falsely accused. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives his defense. And the testimony against Stephen by false witnesses was that Stephen was saying that Yeshua changed the customs of Moses. And so that charge is an accusation of a false witness. Paul likewise was accused of not following the Torah in Acts chapter 21, verse 40. But as we've gone over in great detail in Acts chapters 22 through 26, Paul testified that he did follow the Torah, and he also testified of Yeshua, and that he followed the Torah and the prophets in Rome, as we are told in Acts chapter 28, verses 16 through 31. Therefore, when we take into account the issue of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 7, and then the accusation against Paul that he didn't follow the Torah in Acts chapter 21, and then his defense of the charge in Acts chapters 22 through 26, and then the issue is also brought up in Acts chapter 28 when Paul went to Rome. Over 25% of the book of Acts only deals with the issue of, does a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah follow the Torah? In Paul's testimony is yes. He believed in Yeshua and he followed all things that were written in the Torah and the prophets. But a false witness says that Yeshua changed the customs of Moses. Now remember that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. The address of the ministry is Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio 44680. Strasburg is spelled Strasburg. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you to study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. At the website, we have tabs that specify different categories of study. And in each category, you will find written articles as well as various audio and video teachings. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also has a web store to help you in your studies. And at the web store, you can find a variety of books, CDs, and DVDs. Just go to hebroots.org and you can order from the web store. In closing, remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives, even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his Father. Even so, he commanded those who believe upon him in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Until the next weekly yeshiva teaching, shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.